When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Still a couple spots left in our occasional invitational brought to you by SiteJob.com. This Tuesday, benefiting Kids Meals. It's going to be Tuesday, June 14th, 10:30 at Wildcat. Each golfer going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner from E. Fratelli, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after. Go to ESPN975.com. And if you want to play with me, give us a call, 713-780-3776. We got a couple of spots, me and Doc Linville. You're going to play with me and Doc Linville. Just bid something, anything, bid something, 713-780-3776, and you can play with us. That'll be fun. It's always a good time. And trust me, it will be a good time. Yes, we will start immediately after the show. Immediately, if not sooner.
Start what? The tournament?
Start the tournament. Start the Coors Lights. Yeah. Yeah. Carbach is going to be there, but I'll have my little stash of Coors Lights going on.
I understand. It's understandable. Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing Doc is going to roll up with some Carbach.
Yeah. Doc will have some Carbachs. Yeah. I'm sure he will. I'm sure
everyone who plays is going to be having some.
Tim Kirkchen, where is it? Ricky's asking, where's Lance? It's definitely Tim Kirkchen on a mobile. Tim Kirkchen.
I was here.
No, you would have much more exaggerated.
Yeah,
he's kind of lost
much,
his.
Yeah, I didn't hear the, well, Tim was so sad. Yeah. And when you look, he did hit you with the historical facts.
Like, oh, yeah.
Tim is the best.
Adam Everett was a wonderful.
He was an Adam Everett guy, but all the baseball guys were Adam Everett guys. You know who wasn't? Astros fans.
Right.
Who liked hitting.
Yeah. And then you threw him that dusty thing.
And he was just ready to.
Well, he would have fought you.
I didn't say Dusty didn't do a nice job with the, but, you know. Dusty's time, Dusty's clock, maybe.
He doesn't know about the Dusty lineup situation here.
Does he not?
No. But he doesn't realize that Dusty, if,
Dusty's,
you know.
Dusty's magic lineups, and the children get to watch. Led Misty is hitting third, and maybe some minor leaguer hitting fifth. Oh, Dusty's magic lineups. You just simply insert somebody in. Nobody slides around ever. Because you're worried about their confidence.
He did move Tucker up to five.
That's as much as he
can do.
That's
it, though.
That's as extravagant as the lineups get.
That's all we're doing. Now, did you not see Bregman hitting better yesterday? Hitting the ball harder?
Yeah, no. Breggy. Yeah, that was great. That was great to see that.
Average guy.
That was great to see
that. He's up to 220 now. Just slow down.
And look, I can't complain about Aledmys Díaz hitting where Peña would be, because that's where he should be in the seven hole. So it's not like Dusty's magic lineup makes sense for that. What doesn't make sense is where you've got Durbin or Dorbin or Burnbot or Scallywag hitting in the two hole. You know, well, it looks like Scallywag will be playing the left field of Denver and left, and they've got he's going to be hitting Scallywag. Second. And Durbot.
No, it's Mauricio
Dubon. In the one spot, he's going to be leading it off. And then they're going to give, it looks here like we're going to have Yordan Alvarez is going to be out today. They're going to give him a little rest. So in his place is a DH. They're going to hit Jason Castro. He'll be in the four hole today in cleanup. What? No. Come on, Dusty.
Jason, how about Jason Castro, pinch hitter?
A
dude hitting 060 is pinch hitting for you.
Yeah, that was.
Got a lot of hope there. He's done that. The last three games. Yeah. Two of the last three games.
Didn't love it.
No, it's not great. That's your pinch hitter. Now, last year, Castro was money off the bench. Money. This year, not so much. Three guys in Major League Baseball have an OPS over 1,000. Name them.
I don't think Shohei does he?
Nope. Nope.
It's not Shohei. It would be...
One's obvious.
Well, it's not... Is it Trout?
Nope. But he's close. He's actually even having a much better year than you think. He's in the
9-7. No. He was having a good year, yeah. and then he kind of fell off.
No, he had an 0-for-26.
Oh, what about Guerrero? Oh, Juan Soto. No. Soto's actually in the
800s. No, Soto's, yeah, low. Soto's
in the 800s.
Yeah.
And it's not Guerrero?
Nope.
Who am I missing?
Well, Aaron Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Judge is having a huge year.
You mean the MVP favorite?
Yes, Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge, Yordi.
Yordan.
Who's the third one?
Paul Goldschmidt. He's having a big year.
Oh, that's
He's having
right.
a huge year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no one cares about him, though.
No. And he just, Jose Ramirez just keeps on. He's at 999.
His old mom's
he
like,
is.
Paul Goldschmidt. He's the most boring player. Who? Mom, I'd rather watch Jordan hit. I'm sorry.
I would, too.
Mom.
Paul Goldschmidt, though, has just been money. Paul Goldschmidt may be, when it's all said and done, a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's had a wonderful career. We'll see. We'll talk about this later, okay? When your father gets home. 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Let's catch up on break. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here to hang with us on ESPN. The Texans criticized for their offseason moves. See if you agree with ESPN on this one. We'll talk about that. But right now we're talking about Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford. That's my guys over there, Chastain Ford. You're going to love them. You are going to love what they do for you. I love everything about Chastain Ford because it starts at the top. Okay, Joe and Patrick are unbelievable. And Tony is a wonderful, wonderful general manager. And he's going to make sure that you're getting the best deal that you can possibly get. I've gotten that. But I've seen everybody else. We met people when we had our event with Keyshawn here and met people out there said, yeah, we bought our Ford from Chastain, and that's the only place we're going to go. That is the only place we will ever go again. And I was like, wow, that is so awesome. And it's the truth. When you join the Chastain family, you're going to say, I'm not going to go risk it at another dealership that I'm getting the best deal that I could possibly get. They're going to get you the rebates. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. They're going to make sure that you get the best deal, the best financing that you can possibly get. They're going to work that deal with Ford as hard as they possibly can to make sure that you're in that Ford car or truck at the best price, at the price that you can afford, and not with stuff that they want on your vehicle, with stuff you want on your vehicle. It's all at Chastain Ford, ChastainFord.com, or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN ranked the Texans offseason 25th in the NFL.
You mean that network that's trying to avoid the Deshaun Watson stuff?
Yeah.
Because it's not as... convenient now for Ryan Clark to talk about something he didn't want to have to talk about.
So they didn't love the Mechie draft pick.
I was just on it.
Well, moving up for him, torn ACL. Could you have gotten him a little? Would you have him?
Third round pick.
Third.
Yeah, I think he could be an average NFL starter from the slot. I mean, I think he could end up being a solid player for you. I don't know that I would have done what they did, which is package another pick to move up for him. I don't see the special athletic gifts that you want to have at that particular spot. But Wandale Robinson went earlier than expected to the Giants, so there was kind of some weird stuff going on with some of those slot receivers. They probably wanted – he's a supposedly really, very sharp kid. Alabama, you know, pedigree, which means he's going to be a great route runner, which he is. Good hands, really tough, can play inside, outside, pretty good, a good size for a slot, right at about, you know, in the neighborhood of 5'11", 6, close to 200 pounds, if I remember correctly. So in the 190s, I think. So there's some good stuff. I didn't love it either. I thought it was okay.
If he turns into a starter for him for six years.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
He'll become what he's not going to have Kiki QT speed. I think he's a 4.5 40 guy. But he's going to give
them.
Will
he be on the field?
But they've been trying to get good slot. Like, I think he will become what Kiki QT should have been, which is what they wanted initially, which is a guy who will be effective and productive from the slot.
Yeah.
And I'll take that. I'll take that. You got to have that. Remember, Nick Caserio came from an offense in New England where slot receivers, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, they covet guys who can get, who can move the chains on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what, that's probably why he drafted him where he did.
What about what? Okay, so they weren't crazy about the signings of Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison. You know what? You got somebody that's going to teach Jonathan Greenard.
Hughes, a veteran. They got him for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, you got Thomas Booker now. You got Jonathan Greenard. You got Okoronkwo and Rasheem Green. You know what? You got some veteran leadership there that can maybe teach the kids something. I'm okay with what did you want him to go out and get T.J. Watt, or what were you expecting here? What were you thinking the Texans were going to be able to do? First of all, they're kind of strapped for a crappy team. They're really strapped cap wise.
Well, they had to move. You know,
they got Deshaun.
Watson.
Yeah,
Boom Watson hurt you. So yeah. I don't really care where they rank them. I mean, this is, to me, that's fine. I don't care that they have them.
No, there's a lot of nitpicking. What about signing Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead?
I like it okay. Better than it was. Marlon Mack has some potential.
I'm not crazy about Burkhead, but yeah.
Yeah, Burkhead is just a guy, but you know who he is, and he'll probably give you what you think.
And they probably love him in the locker room.
See, Marlon Mack, the Colts love Marlon Mack. They have Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. It is what it is. He just got, you know, he's had injury issues, Marlon Mack, but he's got good speed. And Marlon Mack is just, he just got caught up in the Jonathan Taylor buzzsaw. Like, they're not giving Jonathan Taylor carries. You're not going to take a bunch of carries away from Jonathan Taylor and do this running back by committee. That ain't happening. So I actually think Marlon Mack is going to surprise some people.
I don't want Rex Burkhead or Marlon Mack, though, taken away from maybe Damian Pierce becoming a dude that you can count on for years to come.
They may see him, though, as just and he may be a complimentary back, but that's fine. That's where the league's going. Marlon Mack is a little tougher runner than he was in college. When he got into the pros, he started running tougher between the tackles. He did a lot of bouncing out wide, like inside runs would bounce out wide and use his speed when he was in college. He got a lot tougher with the Colts, the way he ran the football. So I think Mack and Pierce might have some bang to them. It's funny, you know where Phillip Lindsay is now?
Hmm.
Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Flip-flopped, yeah.
Yeah, well, they got somewhere Lindsay, where you're not going to get any carries.
Well, the problem with Lindsay is
perfect.
Lindsay will be great over there because they got an offensive line that opens a bunch of holes. Problem is Lindsay couldn't really create for himself with power. I was mildly disappointed that he really struggled to break any tackles. So when people got their hands on him, he was done. And that was a problem because guess what? With their offensive line, people are getting their hands on you pretty quick.
Well, then, you know what? Then Damian Pierce ought to touch the ball a bunch because he breaks tackles.
He breaks tackles. And Marlon Mack's a big dude. He's like 215. Like, Marlon Mack's got some size. Damian Pierce is 215. First thing that one of the things you need to look at, which I find fun, is that, see, under Rick Smith / Gary Kubiak / Bill O'Brien and in the Bill O'Brien era, I never thought there was a good flow of what kind of players you wanted to get. With Kubiak, you did. You had, you know, there were certain types of offensive linemen. Wade Phillips had certain types of guys. But it felt very random, some of the pairings of players with schemes that the Texans had. Now you're starting to see, okay, this is what we want. We want running backs that are physical and can break tackles with a certain level of size. Okay. Then, you know, Rex Burkhead is going to be our third down guy who can carry the ball when we need him to, can go get us 10, 12 carries if we want him to in any game, but he's good out of the backfield. Okay. We want a big wide receiver. We want a capable slot. We got the good big and Nico Collins. And then, you know, Brandon Cooks is already here. I'm starting to see Jalen Petrie. We want a smart playmaker. Well, this is going to be Lovie Smith's imprint is going to be on the defensive side. Lovie wants upfield pass rushers. He wants cornerbacks that make plays on the football, and he wants safeties who are instinctive. You had Jalen Petrie. You had Derek Stingley. I mean, now Lovey didn't care about first-round corners in his scheme. But this isn't a pure cover two anymore. And besides that, it does fit the Patriots scheme, which is big, fast, long, and his ball skills are incredible. One of the things that Ballard told me back when he was with the Bears with Lovey, because he scouted for Lovey, is that Lovey demands turnovers by any means necessary. The peanut punch, that was under Lovey, and he worked with Charles Tillman on
creating turnovers.
That's Lovey's whole thing. Last year, they got better with turnovers.
Oh, well, they couldn't have been worse than they were the year before.
Exactly. And Derek Stingley, you know, Stingley is a guy whose ball skills, if you watched him at 19, you'd say, dude, is he a receiver or a corner?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he's doing on ball skills is incredible. So I actually see philosophies developing on offense.
What the philosophy that I'm not crazy about, and I said it last year, was bringing in, when you're rebuilding, you're bringing in Camu Grugier-Hill, you're bringing in Hewitt. You're bringing in a bunch of veteran guys. You're bringing in Desmond King, and you know what? Go get some undrafted free agents that you never know that if somebody's going to hit. Why is Rex Burkhead going to get any carries?
Because you know that he's an NFL player.
Well, he's an NFL player,
but
go find a diamond in the rough.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to have your roster full of you're undrafted.
No,
for a
but
reason.
Some.
Yeah, but I mean, you're undrafted for a reason, though. You're usually the high.
Well, and I agree with this. I mean, you're not going to find Arian Foster. You're not going to find James Robinson.
Sexy.
You're not.
Burkhead's not sexy, but that dude is an NFL player.
No, he's an NFL player. There's no question about that. But he's an NFL player right now on one of the worst teams. There's not many teams that will pick up a record.
This is their last chance U of the NFL.
Yeah, this is what it is.
I mean, really, that's why. And maybe not as much now, but last year, well.
What do you mean not as much
last
now?
Last year, here's
Jerry
Desmond
Hughes.
King.
Rex
hey,
Burkhead?
Agent, listen, can you, here, I'll be Desmond King, you be the agent. Hey, listen, agent, tell me what's good? Tell me about my, so who do I have offers from? I can't wait. You have something from the Rams? Do you have something from, I would love to play for the Raiders, actually.
Yeah.
Stick it to, in Vegas, yeah. I love Vegas. How about the Cowboys? Are they asking about me? Packers? Nah, I don't want the cold weather.
I talked to Nick Caceres. Have you ever thought
about
Houston?
Yeah, I'm down with the Patriots. That's
no,
good.
Not he's moved on. He's with the Texans. Have you heard of the? Yeah, Houston is man. It's beautiful down there this time of year. You ever been there in August? It's wonderful.
Bro, it's like 105.
Yeah,
we were there for a scrimmage.
You know what kind of shape you're going to get in? You mean you could choose
what
to take
the other
off?
Teams?
You could,
tell me the other teams.
It's not. There's Houston. Have you thought about Houston
okay,
at all?
Look, so three at what? Is it a $30 million deal, a $32 million deal? Is it a three-year deal? Is it 4 years guaranteed? What are we talking?
They're going to give you a year at 1.2.
A year?
A year? 1.2. You know what you could do?
But what are the other offers?
You could buy a tank of gas.
I don't want to go to last chance U.S. team. I don't want that sorry-ass squad. Who else? Anybody? This is how conversations went last year. Like, Houston? The Texans? I don't want to play for the Texans. Are they at least giving me a lot of money? No, they're actually not. You're going to be on a team with a bunch of other one-year veterans. Yeah, they're in total rebuild mode.
Yeah, so with a bunch of one-year deals.
A bunch of one-year deals and a third-round quarterback. And Tyrod Taylor, if he didn't get stabbed in the heart by a doctor. Like a scene out of Pulp Fiction.
And then the
prank call.
And then finally, ESPN wants them. And we talked about this before. Get Jimmy Garoppolo.
What?
I mean, ESPN
has to stop. Y'all got to at least do a little. Stop being so disrespectful to Houston that you're like, what can we talk about with Houston? I mean, we got to get Jimmy Garoppolo somewhere so we can clear the way for Trey Lance. Like, well, you know you're not the actual GM, right? ESPN, you don't have to trade him. Let's give them to – who do we give them to? I don't know. We're still doing stuff with Baker. I mean, Houston sucks. They probably don't have a quarterback. They got the kid they drafted from the third round. No one wants a third rounder.
It's either Seattle or Houston.
And then some guy in research goes, well, actually – because this is what happens. It's a research meeting. It's a meeting, right? So you're having a meeting about what your topics are going to be. So it'll be about eight people in a room for that particular show. The producers, and then the on-air talent, and then you'll have at least one, sometime two, researchers. And this is what probably happened. You know what? Here's Ryan Clark. Just give him to the Texans, sorry ass. They got the kid from Stanford. They drafted in the third round. They're not going to have a third rounder. Well, actually, yes, Kevin, research? Well, actually, he was technically the second most proficient quarterback from the entire draft last year. Substantially more proficient than Justin Fields. That's when he gets slapped across the face by Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark for saying that.
For saying that, right. You can't say that.
Well, it's just factual. And then another smack for saying that. He was actually more technically proficient than Zach Wilson. Okay, that can stand. Trevor Lawrence, and then like Reese Davis will slap him for no reason. Like, you're not even on the show. Why are you slapping me, Reese? And then and he says the only one who was better, who's the only rookie
Mac Jones.
Oh yeah, was Mac Jones. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo is still better than him. Well, but Jimmy Garoppolo technically would be better than all the other quarterbacks.
I don't know if you heard Jimmy Garoppolo is making $24 million this year. The Texans have about $5 million.
Davis Mills is being paid about $560,000.
Don't know if you heard.
Technically, from a proficiency standpoint and an efficiency EFA plus three over value equals seven, he actually and technically is more proficient and more efficient and more productive than all of the other quarterbacks in this draft other than Mac Jones. So I'm not sure that that's the – just give him to the Texans. We're not listening to Kevin anymore.
Whatever.
Kevin, stay out of this. You never even played football. Did you even put a jock strap on? Well, I had one put on my face and my nose by some of the bullies at school.
That's ugly.
Okay, well, listen. Good.
Bullying is –
we're about to put another one on there. Give the Texans Jimmy Garoppolo. They need Jimmy Garoppolo. Just slot him there. I don't even know who the quarterback is. Milston Howard or something? It's actually Davis Mills.
Same thing.
He actually had 16 touchdowns tonight. He was technically better than all of the quarterbacks that you guys put your capes on for last year. I will punch you in the face, Kevin.
Do the Rams have a salary cap? We'll answer that question on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
I'm not going to hear anyone say they have salary caps anymore in the NFL. That's a lie.
It's time to talk about the Morley Law Firm. You have some kind of an issue. I don't know what it is. It doesn't really matter to me, but it matters to you. You've got some police issues that you have to handle, and you need to handle them, and you can't do it yourself. And you need somebody that, you know what, you don't have a lawyer on retainer. You need a lawyer. You've got the Morley Law Firm for you here. And I'm going to tell you what, they're really, really good guys. And what they're going to do, they're based here in Houston, and they are experienced in criminal and injury defense. They have experience in civil defense as well. Whatever your issue is, you need representation, and you need some experience. That's what you have to have. Because that's so, so important in today's world, especially in the judicial world. Make sure that they know what they're doing. And these guys know what they're doing. What they're doing is they're helping people with all their injury cases, with their insurance cases, with their criminal cases, with their immigration cases. Se habla español. So if you have an issue, whatever that is, you need a lawyer. And the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Talk to them. Find out if whether or not they can help you. And they can or they can't. But here's the deal. You got to call them. Make the call, Morley Law. 713-839-9955. 713-839-9955. Or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Got him again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back. Cooper Kupp signs a five-year, $110 million extension. After Aaron Donald signs for another $95 million on top of what, and becomes like the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Do the Rams, Jalen Ramsey, Matthew Stafford, they just had, they didn't have Khalil Mack, they had the defensive end from Denver.
Von Miller.
Von Miller. I mean, do they have a? Are they in the same league as everybody else? The Texans are right below the salary. Right, they have $5 million in cap space. They have no good players. Zero, I mean, like one or two good players. The Rams have all these good players and giving them hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're just fine. What is the deal? How are the Rams getting away with this?
So, looking at, I'm on SpotTrack. They've got an entire article basically about this and how his contract works. The cap hit for 2022 is $24 million, then $38 million, then $31 million, then $23.5 million
for Cup.
No. This is for Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's for Aaron Donald. It talks about his guarantee structure. I'm not sure how they're making it work. I mean, I'm going to have to go to the Rams' actual team and see how they're doing this. Obviously, nothing can be done like this without there being consequences. Like, this is credit card spending. We all know this doesn't make sense. Like, how can you pay your quarterback that much, your cornerback that much, your defensive lineman that much, your wide receiver that much? How are you able to do that when other teams can't do it? Well, you're borrowing Peter to pay Paul. So you're taking from a separate year, and you're trying to shuffle the money around in 3 years.
Well, and you're hoping that the salary cap goes up, too, in the future.
Well, you're going to also have to cut. Like, there's no way around it. You have to make veteran cuts, and you're going to have to work with cheap players. And the problem is they don't have – a lot of their picks have been traded, so they're going to really have to hope that they hit with not only second, but a lot of third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders are going to have to make the team because they have to have inexpensive labor.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. I mean, we've seen it in the NBA with the big three with Miami. They're the first ones that I thought really it showed. If you want to pay three guys that giant a chunk of your total cap, you know, then you end up with – and you had Ray – and you had Ray Allen obviously helped a great deal, but taking a little bit less. But, you know, you end up with Birdman, right? That's who you end up with, Chris Anderson, Birdman Anderson – coming off the bench, and James Jones you had to have cheaper, and you have to have a bunch of cheap guys off the bench, like really cheap guys that, frankly, are not great players. That's what I think that their evaluations, Les Snead's going to have to do a really, really good job of making sure that he picks guys that can play who are in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round, who are good special teamers and who are competent backups. Because I don't know how you fill out a roster, honestly, with the amount of money you got. Even if you're messing around with money, these are some of the highest paid guys at their position
in the league.
So I don't know how they're doing it.
I don't get it. It's just they're playing a different game than everybody else. They're in a different league than everybody else.
Well, but they're gonna, like, things come due. There's you can't just have everything you want. I'm looking at the 2022 season, for example, from a cap hit standpoint. Donald, $24 million. Ramsey, $23 million. Cooper Kupp, 18.8. You know what Matt Stafford's number is? Here you go, $13.5 million. That's how you're able to do
That's
it.
That's how you do it.
You gave him a bunch last year,
yeah,
and you give him a smaller one this year. So you have him taking a lot less this year. And this is going to be a guy. I'm looking at his salary number. His cap hit in 2024 is $49 million. In 2025, it's $50 million. He was given a 4-year deal, $160,000 with the Rams, including a $60 million signing bonus and $130 million of guaranteed.
So why is he on the AT&T commercial? Why does he have to do a commercial,
you know,
when you get a $60 million signing bonus?
Do you know what his base salary is this year? Who makes more, him or Deshaun Watson this year in base salary?
In base?
It's about the same.
Oh, really? They're both.
He's 1.5.
Well, he got $60 million
last year. Next year, he's 1.5. So this is how they're doing it. The signing bonus hits him for $12 million this year, $12 million for next year. That's why his cap numbers are
13, yeah.
13, 5, 20. Next year it's $20 million because there's also an option bonus. So he'll get a bonus next year of $6.5 million. But then in 2024, he's almost at $50 million. So the Rams are hoping, okay, let's push it as far back as possible. We'll guarantee a bunch of money, and we'll hope that the salary cap keeps going up quickly, and we'll, by the time it catches up. And maybe they're playing a smart game. Maybe they've kind of figured out the cap game. Maybe their projections are, you know what, $49.5 million is a ton of money. It's more than any quarterback's making. But by 2024, it may be more in line, and we can have a very reasonable redo on his deal that makes some sense. You know, his deal runs through 2026, and they can get out of it after 2025. But he'll be 37. Quarterbacks play at age 37 now. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks are playing at age 38. Yeah. Best quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. All right, we got some sound here.
Which weird sound are you going to play first?
I don't know that we have enough time because we're going up.
Which uncomfortable sound, I should say.
Let's do Cam. And Cam, who is, how valuable is Cam Newton?
It wasn't I Am Athlete. It's the pivot. It's the pivot.
He's on the pivot?
Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor.
Here is Cam Newton explaining how valuable Cam Newton is.
I'm not going to conform to nothing because when I don't have nothing else, I think I will need my people to stand up for me. Jay-Z said it best. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Well, okay. You know what I'm saying? You take that mantra where it's like, nah, man, I can't go back to the hood. Nah, man, I can't go back to the city, da, 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 until I have to. You see what I'm saying? I saw myself more valuable than the Tom Brady's. I saw myself more valuable than the Aaron Rodgers. I saw myself more valuable than the Peyton Mannings. Not because of the talent, just because I could go into their community.
Mm.
Mm. Mm.
Mm.
Finish. Mm. But they could never go to my community.
Mm. 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 Value.
I'll bet you Tom Brady could go right into your community and be sworn and be dapped up and people would love him the same way.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't even understand what that means. More valuable because you can go into these communities. Like, I guess if you're doing something.
How about the
This is a new
preach
thing.
It, brother.
This is a new thing that's on, like you'll hear it on podcasts where that's an easy way to react. You just go,
That one.
Cam did say he wasn't more talented than those guys. So it's not like he was saying that.
No.
More valuable in the community. I don't even know what that, I honestly don't know what it means from a Cam Newton standpoint. Like LeBron, well, he's building schools. He's sending kids to college. Like, I know Cam is doing some stuff in his community as well, but I don't know. That's just a weird comment.
Mm.
Maybe I didn't hear it all in context because I didn't watch the full interview, but I'm just waiting. Can Cam be done? Are we done with this? I've never seen more gaslighting and people trying to make you believe that actually, what you're seeing is wrong. Cam was actually really good.
Well, Cam said there aren't 32 quarterbacks better than him.
You know, Cam's had played in the league 11 years.
Do you believe that? There aren't 32 quarterbacks better than Cam Newton in the league.
I think that's a real coin flipper right now if he's better.
Well, then the question is he better than Davis Mills?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, obviously it should be an easy yes, but I can't say. He's looked so bad when I've seen him over the last 2 years. You know, post-COVID Cam Newton in New England was an atrocity. He was horrible last year with Carolina. Just doesn't throw the ball well. He's played 11 years in the league. He's had three winning seasons, eight losing seasons. Three winning, eight losing.
Is he better than Drew Lock or Geno Smith?
I don't know.
Is he better than Justin Fields?
I mean, he's bad. Right now, Cam Newton is bad. That's like saying, I guess we're just saying which one's worse.
Well, who was the worst? Who are the
which
worst
one's
quarterbacks
less worse?
Who are the? Is I mean, he better than?
You're
than
talking about backups.
Carson Wentz.
This is the problem.
No. 32 starters.
No, I actually don't think he's better than Carson Wentz.
Well, that was the argument that he was trying to make in the podcast. Basically, with that sound clip, he was asking Channing, because Channing was like, Cam, like, you're not the same guy.
Oh, but, was he?
Yeah,
saying that?
But he was saying, you know, like, there's not 32 NFL quarterbacks. So he said, give me quarterback number 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, and tell me that they're better than me.
Here's an important distinction. Once you're talking about these guys, which are all, you're talking about guys who no one wants to lead their team because you know you can't win with them, right? Not at the highest level. So if that's what we're talking about, Cam, you know who people are looking for when you're dealing with 29, 30, 31, 32? This isn't a contest of, hey, let's find the guy who is the best out of the 29, 30, 31, 32. They're going to look for guys who are not pain in the ass, number one, which is where Cam really hurts himself, is that you know you're going to have drama. You know Cam is going to make it about Cam. And do you really want that if you're the 30th best team, if you have the 30th best quarterback, the 31st? Once you're arguing, is he better than Drew Lock or Geno? I don't know on Drew Lock. Drew Lock is still a young quarterback. He still has a chance to get better. He showed some signs at the end of the year. We'll see. But I'm not ready to anoint Drew Lock.
I'd rather have Geno Smith than
Geno's. But Geno was not a problem at all.
It's not about problem. It's about who can throw the ball down the field, make some completions.
But at this point, it's about passing, but it's also about who's the guy that is going to fit into your locker room. Because if you're 29th or 30th, you're basically a borderline starter. You're considered a good backup. And that's really what Cam could be right now, but he doesn't fit in as a backup. And I think Cam really is such a huge fan of Cam that I can't see him. The backup's job is to be there. We talked about this with Colin Kaepernick. Your job is to be good with your starter, to be a second set of eyes for your starter, a second set of eyes for the coaching staff, be a guy who can help in a variety of ways. It's like a sous chef with a chef or a chef de cuisine. You have these jobs. It's a bench coach for the manager, right? That's what a backup quarterback is. And you have to ask yourself, are you willing to be that guy? And I don't think a lot of teams would think Cam is willing to be that guy. So arguments about is he inside the top 32 quarterbacks, that to me is completely irrelevant.
I don't even want him, you know, and there's nothing about Cam Newton that is a positive right now.
Well, he's just a really, really highly inaccurate passer. Yes. I mean, he's 54. Yeah. I mean, he completed 54% of his passes.
What about
last
his 11
year.
Years? How many winning seasons did he have?
He had three.
Three winning seasons.
Yeah, career record of 75-68. So when he did win, it was a good clip.
Yep. One, yep.
The MVP the year, he was 15-1. Yep. The MVP year was 15-1. But his issues are yards per attempt. Listen, his career yards per attempt are under 7. That is not good.
We got some more weird sound, and it came from Jack Del Rio. We'll talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I did a video shoot with Chris and Lawson last night over at a bar on Washington, and it was just so much fun. And the whole thing was just about Coors Light and being cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It's called The Influencer.
Talking about Coors Light?
Coors Light.
You're not.
No, you talk about the drink of your choice, and they get that, and they have to drink it too.
Oh, okay.
So we were drinking Coors Lights. We did a taste test with Miller Lite, Coors Light, and Bud Light, and I got them all correct, not surprisingly. I knew which one was Coors Light, and I knew which one was Miller Lite and which one was Bud Light. But it is what it is. I mean, that's my drink. That's what I do, and it's what you can do too. If you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, I can tell you, I'm going up to Carlton Woods today, and there's a chance I could have a couple, three or five cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It is the world's most refreshing beer. I am keeping Texas chill. Keep Texas chill. Drink Coors Light.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we get to this Jack Del Rio thing, is it Javon? Javon wants to get on the show, talk a little salary caps. We were talking salary caps and the Rams.
Clear this up for us because the Rams are doing some magic.
Yeah, they've got a wonderful, wonderful capologist. What's up, Javon?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, two questions. I'm just wondering, when it's all said and done, will Matt Stafford have the most career earnings of any NFL player? Because if I'm not mistaken, he was the last guy to get the big money before they put that rookie cap in. I think he got like $50 million. He's been getting paid ever since. My other question is, when a player gets traded, like Deshaun or Tyreek Hill, and they immediately get a new deal, is the old team responsible for any dead money or cap hit? It seems like they shouldn't if they get a new deal. That's just my question. Guys, love the show. Thanks.
Yeah, so here's how it works. As soon as you're traded, there is a dead cap amount, so the Texans get hit with it. You know, depending on when you do that, you can spread out your cap hit for the calendar year 2022 and 2023. Like, there's you got a chance to spread out the cap hit. But your cap hit is based upon your signing bonus. It's nothing that's in your contract. The only money that you're responsible for when you trade a player or cut a player early before the cap is money that you gave them in the signing bonus, which gets prorated. So if you have like Deshaun had a 4-year deal, let's say it's $100 million, then you have $25 million that hits on all four of those years. Let's just say a signing bonus. Let's say a signing bonus was,
let's say 100 over four. Okay, 25 each year.
So that would be a ton.
If you trade them after the second year, though, $50 million rushes to the first.
That's why $25 million is not a good bonus number. Let's say they gave him a signing bonus of $60 million, $15 million a year. John's right. So after the first 2 years are done, you still have $15 million and $15 million left on the last two. That guaranteed money gets pushed up to the year that you trade them. So now $30 million is a dead cap figure. The contract, the actual base salaries, those are irrelevant. It's money that you've already promised. You already gave it to them. You already gave them that cash. Right. But this is part of the cap hit.
But it also, if you do it after June 1st, you can split it up in between this year and next.
You know what more and more teams are doing is they're guaranteeing the guaranteeing salaries. And it's less about the signing bonus. And then what they're doing is they're pushing their guarantees. Are like, the new strategy is to make lower base year compensation, but then push back some of the salaries to later. But it's still guaranteed. You know, it's still going to be guaranteed, but you're waiting until the cap goes up and you're pushing the higher numbers there. Now, as far as the other question he asked, Matt Stafford is going to be the highest earner because he was right. Javon is right. He was the last quarterback under the last non-collectively bargained rookie slotting deals. He was not under that deal, so
here are the top earners in NFL history. Tom Brady, $302 million. Matt Ryan, $267 million. Aaron Rodgers, $263 million. Matthew Stafford is fourth, $239 million.
So Matthew Stafford's previous contract's $249 million, but this year's contract, so here's his previous contracts, $135 million. Rookie contract, 3-year contract. I'm sorry, the rookie contract was 6 years, 72, then 3 years, 53, then 5 years, 135. Now, once he got traded, his new contract was 4 year, $160 million. When it's all said and done, if he plays as long as we think he can, if he plays into the age of 40, he will be the highest paid.
So this year he's making 1.5, like you said, in base salary. Next year, 1.5. The following year is $31 million. I don't think he gets to it.
But it's what he was already given.
No, that's going to be his base. That's what they're going to have to pay him, which is why there'll be an out there.
But $130 million is guaranteed.
Right.
So his contract, he got a 4-year, $160 million contract. $130 million is guaranteed. So no matter what, he's getting $130 million. That's what I'm saying.
But they may be able to finagle. Right. He's going to get,
when it's it absolutely counts. There's no way around it. So Matt Stafford is going to end up being your highest, provided he plays. He has to have the longevity. So if he plays until he's 40 years old, there's no way he's not. When you look at these contract numbers, if he's playing decent football, he's going to be getting $40 million a
year. If Jaquiski Tart catches that ball, Matthew Stafford is right now under a lot of pressure.
That happens.
Nope.
Vince Young, do you remember in the 2006 National Championship game where on Vince's big drive, USC dropped an interception that was right in their hands? I don't know if you remember that or not. That changes the entire history of college football.
Yep.
Like, one drop can change everything. Same way Eli Manning, that guy has no business even, they shouldn't even let him into a Hall of Fame. And
what?
Like, as a visitor.
What?
I just like saying that to piss off Giants fans. But no, for real, Eli Manning's not a Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of pretty good. He's not even a Hall of very good.
No.
But he has two Super Bowl wins. One of them because a guy made a catch
on his head.
on his head, like the most
the other
catch.
One, he threw it.
Yeah, no, Eli played pretty well in the postseason. He actually did, yeah. But it took he also benefited from an unbelievable pass rush.
Yeah.
The Giants were early adapters into that, you know, 4-man attack, and he had an unbelievable catch that he benefited from. So,
right.
I mean, come on.
All right, well, we spent that whole segment talking about that stuff. We'll get to Jack Del Rio on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But once again, the ceiling is the roof.
AO1 Roofing is the roofing company as well. And if you are looking for – so here's what's going to happen once hurricane season hits. Let's say we get hit by one, a tropical storm even, with some big wind. What happens is if you have roofing damage – it is exacerbated once the wind comes, because the wind will lift and move your shingles around, and it drives and forces water into certain areas. The same thing can happen when you have hail damage. It can do damage to the shingles, and you may not know it until you have very inclement weather, including wind and rain combined together. And that's when you start seeing leaking that you didn't think was even possible. I had leaking in a roof back in, it was like three hurricanes ago. And we couldn't find an issue on the roof. It was really, really hard to find. But there was water that had come down the walls. And what they ended up discovering is the wind is what will lift those shingles and drive the water in. So if you've got areas of concern with your roof, they can get it fixed. If it's a small patchwork stuff, they can do that. If you need if you got an older roof that needs to be re-roofed, number one, it adds value to your home when it comes time to sell your home. But the second thing is, it actually just protects you against the elements when you have it done the right way with AO1 Roofing. They don't cut corners. They do the decking and the roofing the way it's supposed to be done. They don't cut corners with the nails, the shingles, any of that. They also are giving you a 4,500-watt generator when you re-roof with them. Who's getting a generator? They are giving you one. You can't find one come hurricane season. You're freaking out. I knew I should have got one. Well, this is your chance. Get a brand-new roof and get a brand-new generator while supplies last. From AO1 Roofing, call 713-715-ROOF. That's 713-715-ROOF.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.